Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 628. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again in the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick agent, Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is probably downstairs, you know, hanging around the new stuff down there that I'll get into later. Get into later. Yes. I've been pumping that, I guess, for about a month or so. It's yes. No more crazy injuries, I guess, at work, so that's a plus. Everybody leaving with all their digits and whatnot. But it seemed like a long work week, man, even though it was just like a 5-day work week. Just knowing it's coming to a holiday weekend. I'm recording this on Saturday, of course. The holiday weekend. Labor Day weekend. And working the previous two Saturdays, man, it just seemed like an eternity to get to this weekend. And I'm already like a good way through Saturday. I already feel like, fuck. My weekend's already like coming to a close. But yeah, I didn't accomplish everything I was planning on accomplishing by now. That was good. Yeah, I ran this morning too far, and that really killed my energy for the day. I haven't ran really in 2 weeks, and then I did like 10 miles today. So it probably not the wisest decision, but it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I was gearing up to paint the old garage door today. That was a big part of the agenda, and that didn't happen. But I did make it to Lowe's. I was going to go Thursday night, skipped out, went with the Muffin Man over to the Landing and got some hot wings and hot sauce pizza. And then, of course, I skipped out on the buying all the shit from Lowe's. I did go, after going to Mexican, Ernesto's, after work on Friday, I did go out to make it to Lowe's and purchase, I believe, everything I really need to paint the garage door. I'm a little nervous. I don't know how well the paint is really going to match. I mean, I was just going off memory and a photo. I know it's, you know, not going to 100% match. I just hope it's like somewhat close to the other doors on the townhouses. Anyway, it'll look way better regardless of how well it matches. It's going to look way better after I paint it since, I mean, it's got the area where the egg took away the paint and the whole thing's like pretty damn faded. It looks off from all the other garage doors anyway. And I didn't replace the seal on the bottom yet either. I need to do that. That'll help keep shit out of the garage. I get a lot of stuff like into the garage and what have you. And like when it rains, like water will build up and shit in there. And I've got a lot of spiders in there. I need to clear those out. but I did also buy a power washer because I'm going to clean it. I'm hoping to do this tomorrow now. I was nervous about doing it today. Because it looked like it was going to fucking rain all day. The apps that I was using to check the weather seemed like that, you know, tying to the fact that I was super fucking tired. That made me not. I was gearing up to do it, though. I was gearing up to do it after running. I took a long nap, way too long of a nap, and ended up being like 2 hours. After going to breakfast, after running the breakfast at Rothschild's, haven't eaten at Rothschild's in years. Yeah, I've been eating out way too much. got to knock that shit off. Yeah, we went to, I got the power washer to clean off the garage and I'll hopefully wash down the siding and stuff. I didn't go all out. I got like the second cheapest power washer at Lowe's. I haven't used it yet. I did put it together earlier, but I have not yet used it. I think I'm going to have to get a longer garden hose. The one garden hose I have isn't that long. I think I want to going to have to get a longer one. That's what she said, right? She's going to have to get a longer one. Anyway, too short. I can't feel it inside me. I need a longer hose. oh yeah, longer hose all the way. So I'm hoping it works pretty good. It's just a electric one that is you use cold water, you're not heated water, so you know, we'll see. I might just end up, cuz the siding is pretty dirty. I don't want to pay for new siding or to have it painted, so I mean, it's, you know, 20 years old. I might just eventually pay someone to clear the siding with the power washing, like a pro. But the big reason I wanted the power washer, though, is just to clean off the garage door after doing. I might have to sand a couple areas and whatnot. You know, I have no clue on what I'm doing. I've watched plenty of videos on painting garage doors. almost feel like I should go back and just get a fucking a gun to do it, the spray paint gun, because man, I'm a little nervous about the whole thing, and just it's not 100% flat. If it was all flat, I'd be like, oh, this should be real easy. But there's, you know, like squares where it goes in and out. I got rollers and paintbrushes. I don't know how well the roller is going to do since there's grooves basically in it and angled quite a bit. It could be a little challenging. I mean, if it was nice and flat, the roller would just go right over it. not that big of a garage door, though. So, I mean, if I just end up using the paintbrushes for 90% of it, it wouldn't take me all day. And the paint I have, I don't think I'm going to need, like, multiple coats. That, and there's already, you know, paint underneath it of hopefully pretty damn close to the same color. So I would think I would need a whole hell of a lot of paint. I've got a gallon. It's like a 9-foot wide garage door. I want to say it's 9 foot by, like, maybe 7 foot high, because it's not very much taller than me. I'm guessing it's probably over 6 foot. Like, I'm 5'8", and, you know, maybe it only goes a couple inches above my head, but I'm thinking it's more than a couple inches. Hopefully it's at least another foot, you know, like close to 7 foot. But, I'm a little nervous, like, without ever, you know, painting the garage door and, like, see it and how well it'll turn out. You know, but I could always, if I fuck it up, I guess I can always paint it over it. The big concern, though, is more of taping off the sides and making sure that paint doesn't dry up, like where it's connected to, like, the siding or anything, or inside the slats, because then it could, like, rip the siding off. and, yeah, it could be a real problem, too, just drying inside the cracks inside the slats of the door. Could be a real issue. I know, since I've never done it before, I'm probably not going to do a great job of it. I'm going to run into some issues. This is, but I was geared up to do it earlier. Then, you know, I had probably mentioned on the podcast last week that, I found out when I was going to get the new sofa that I've been talking about forever now, which I think that's where Agent Mulder is at right now. Hopefully he's not tearing into it, motherfucker. I scheduled the delivery for today. And they were supposed to give me like a 2-hour window. And they sent me a text message to confirm the time. And originally it was like 1:45 to 3:45. And then I hit the confirm thing. I sent that back and was like, yeah, you've been confirmed. And then there was a text not too, like an hour or so later to confirm again, but it was a different time, like later in the day. And so it was like, oh shit, well, when am I going to get this? This is more than a 2-hour window. And so I'm expecting it to be like late in the day, you know, like 4, like 5 o'clock, something ridiculous. But they showed up pretty early. It was, I think, before 2 when they got here. And like, I was gearing up ready to like, I was putting the power washer together. I was like, really? And I knew though that at any minute they could deliver the thing. So I was, you know, I didn't want to get too geared up with like covered in paint and shit and then have to bring in a new couch and what everything. I got the power washer together. I was putting it together while they were actually bringing the couch in, or sofa rather. And the rug. They brought the rug, the shag rug. After having the rug in here, actually, I think I've made the right choice. Oh, here's Agent Fox Mulder. He's not tearing out the couch, or sofa, rather, at the moment. He came up to say hi. He's like, he's been kind of weirded out by the whole sofa thing. But, yeah, I was finished putting together, I guess, the washer as they were, like, delivering the sofa. And, yeah, I didn't get around to painting. But, the sofa's nice, man. I got it in. Agent Mulder was kind of freaked out about it. I put him in the other room, or in the bedroom, while the room I'm actually recording in currently. I put him in here because I didn't want him like fucking around. I left the front door open, and I didn't know if he'd be running in and out and like messing with the movers. So I was like, let's just not get in the way. Yes, I had to pause for a second, so I kind of forgot where I was at. I was getting messages from my old friend Toddy, and I had sent him photos of the new sofa and whatnot, but, yeah, the new sofa. It's like no time passed because I paused, but a little time did pass while I paused, so I guess I could have gone back and listened to what I said. I guess I could pause it now and then go back and listen as the cat's attacking me. All right, I think I did it properly to where there's not going to be any fucked up thing. No gap in not recording over things and whatnot. Okay, that was why I was most afraid of going back and listening. But yeah, I pretty much knew what I was talking about. Yeah, the sofa. Yeah, not letting Fox outside. He was in the other room. But yeah, they got it in here. It was all good to go. The thing is powered. It's got, of course, for the power reclining, and it reclines back far, man, pretty damn far. And it's got the phone chargers, man. You just drop your phone in there. If you hit there's a power button you have to do that brings power to the USB port on there, because you can just plug it in via USB port or any other device that you need powered. And the phone slot, though, has got the wireless charger, so you just drop your phone in that slot. As long as you hit the power button, it's going to power your phone. It's going to charge it. It's kind of cool. I mean, not necessarily needed, but cool in the same vein. And then there's the middle cushion, of course, flips down, and you've got lights above that flip up, and you can, like, if you're going to read a book or something, lights will flip up. And then it's got drink holders and stuff too. Once you flip down that middle cushion, and there's like storage place inside the middle cushion as well as on the outside arms. There's storage spots inside there that flip up, and so you can put remotes, what have you, vibrators. I don't know, whatever you might need in a sofa. Some lube. I don't know, Twinkies, you know, whatever you need in a sofa at a moment's notice, you can store it inside the sofa. So that's handy. And when I picked out the rug at Ashley Furniture, when I picked out the rug at Ashley Madison. yeah, that's not where I was at. Ashley Furniture / Missouri Furniture, when I was there picking out the rug. Yeah, I wasn't too excited about any of the rugs. But the shag, I mean, it felt nice and everything. And I thought, you know, hopefully Agent Mulder here really loves this rug here and that he'll be way more enticed to scratch that. It's a big shag carpet. I'm figuring it's going to be hard for him to tear that up. And it's white, so his fur will not be seen in it as long as it's... Well, I mean, I'll see the orange stuff, but there's not that much orange fur on him. It's mainly... He's like at least 75-80% white. All the hair that pretty much comes off him is white. So it will be hidden inside that shag rug. And you got something to say about that, buddy? You don't like me talking about your hair? But I'm hoping he has laid quite a bit on the rug so far. He was kind of weirded out by the sofa. Like, he's laid on it, but he's just kind of weird. Like, this, what is this big new thing inside my house? Is what I think he was trying to tell me. As he's talking about it now, he's like, dude, what the fuck? You're just bringing this new shit in here for? I bring a box in, though. He's immediately excited. A new sofa, he's like, I don't know, man. And it kind of freaked him out, too, when I did the reclining. I mean, it's a power recliner. Don't jump on the soundboard, buddy. I see you doing it. I see you going for it. Ow. You're going to fuck up the recording and shit, buddy. Oh, don't. No. No bitings. Jesus, man. He's irate. I'm throwing him off his whole routine. I guess not working today. And being home for a good chunk of it. And is already throwing him off. And then he's like, what the fuck is going on? You throw me in the other room, closing the door. Then you bring in this new fucking furniture that he's tried to claw it, but it didn't work out very well. I did trim his claws the other night pretty good in advance, thinking, you know, hey, I better make sure that... I don't really trim his back claws. But it's his front claws that he really digs into shit. So I'm not too worried about the back ones. Although he digs those into me. He likes to, as he just did as he jumped down there. He's been a little weird. Like, he's laid on the couch with me. But he feels a little weird with it. I've got moving blankets that... I've already covered it with, and I figure when I leave, I'll throw the moving blankets on it, and hopefully that protects it from him destroying it. But it seems that he really, as soon as I put the moving blankets on, he was way more enticed to scratch when the moving blankets were on there. That was satisfying for him to claw, so I'm thinking that may not be a great idea to throw those on there. And none of them were big enough to cover it on their own, so I've got like three or four... moving blankets. I guess there's four of them. I'm throwing over the top. Yeah, I think it's four. And he was able to move them quite a bit. And I'm like, well, this just may not work out. I might have to get like a legit, which I was thinking about getting a legit like couch cover that I could put on there when I'm not using it. Just hopefully whatever it is, it's, you know, sturdy enough to take a claw and not let it sink into the furniture as well. He's already destroyed this one upstairs. I feel like if I just leave the bedroom door open all the time, which previously I had been leaving the bedroom door open only when I was home. If I wasn't at work, though, I'd usually leave it open and I just wasn't at home. But for the most part, going to work, because I was, you know, go to work for at least 8 hours or more. And I just felt like that was just too much time to leave him alone with this couch. But I've been leaving the door open to the bedroom, just like, yeah, just go ahead and just fuck it. Yeah, scratch that fucker up. Because this thing, that couch only cost me like $100 or $200. It was a floor model, like the showroom model that I'd gotten on that. So I'm not too concerned about it. Hopefully he just hangs out upstairs most of the time and just wants to continue to tear up this couch. You're like, go ahead, buddy, do it. But I'm pretty excited with the sofa thing, you know, the thing that I sit on. That shag carpet is pretty comfy too. I've laid on that, tried to get the cat to come over with me. Like, oh, this is quite nice. Got the shag rug. Shag carpet slash rug? I guess it's more of a rug, but it's not, you know, like mounted to the floor in any way. But it does sound weird to say shag rug. But I guess it was, you know, when I hear shag, I think shag carpet. And I think about it like inside of a rape van. Like the old 70s, like, vans. I guess that's not more of the rape van. You know, the stuff with the fantasy stuff, like painted on the outside. Then you got the shag carpet in the inside. That's more of just a love wagon, I guess. The rape van's more of the white panel van. That's the classic rape van. So hopefully tomorrow I'll get to painting the garage door. But, man, early in the week, it's driving me nuts. Like, I was excited to, like, possibly, you know, do some work on the place here today, on the penthouse. And that garage door's really been bugging me because it does look bad. And they've got, like, at least one of the units a couple down from me is for sale. And I'm like, man, this is just... taking out a home equity loan. I want it to look like this place is worth some money. So I know that garage door is one thing that just an eyesore that makes it look just shitty. And fixing that up and then, like, getting the new roof, I think should, man, at least from the outside, go like, you know what, this place is worth some money. So that's a good thing to have if I'm, you know, got that home equity line of credit and whatnot. But hopefully that works out tomorrow. Originally, what I was going to say, yeah, that I digressed on there was beginning of the week, it was looking like there was going to be no rain whatsoever this weekend. But this fucking summer in general, we've got a lot of rain. And then it was saying, like, as of yesterday, or maybe even by Thursday, they were saying, oh, it is, I guess maybe like Thursday, I was seeing like, oh, it looks like it's probably going to rain on Saturday, the day I was wanting to do it. And then it basically rained last night, a little bit this morning, and it still just looks like it's going to fucking rain outside. Maybe the clouds have gone away now by the time I'm recording this, but it's been a minute since I've looked outside. Definitely not going to do it tonight. I want to do that in the daytime because I wanted to dry right, you know, have the sun hit it and dry quickly. But there is a slight chance of rain Sunday and Monday. So any day I pick, there's a slight possibility it could get rained on, which I want to avoid. If all else fails, it gets fucked up. I could put a little bit more paint over it. But I've got the time this weekend to do it. Hopefully that pans out. Mother Nature just works with me and my energy level's there. We shall see. And I haven't heard any new updates on my table yet, so I don't yet know when I'll receive that. Hopefully sometime September. And, because I would like to have the full setup down here, man. Or in the downstairs. I'm not in the downstairs. I feel like maybe I, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Maybe done this show down there. But that would have been weird. And I feel like the cat would have probably bothered me more while trying to record this if I was down on the new sofa doing it. Doing it on the new sofa. But, I got the new sofa and I did, maybe I had mentioned this last week, but I think I did this after the last podcast. Shelly shared with me the YouTube TV. You can have up to, 6 family members or just family members / friends, share your YouTube TV account. And I'm in that one of the shares. And he's got Paramount Plus, NFL Sunday Ticket. Man, I've been watching some shit. I've been watching some HBO on there. pretty excited about it. The first watch I've had on the new sofa was Furiosa. And I did enjoy Fury Road, which came out, shit, what was that, 10 years ago now? Trying to remember that. I went to IMDb and it's on a weird page. Like, when did I look this person up? I don't know what's going on here. Oh, I was looking up Team America World Police. I guess it's one of the people that voiced the woman that voiced the character on there. Anyway, I was going to Fury Road. So, yeah, 2015, almost 10 years ago. It came out next year. I'll make 10 years ago. So, yeah, I knew it was a while back. I did enjoy that one in the theater. I wanted to go see Furiosa, but, you know, working so many Saturdays and knowing I was going to have to see Deadpool in the theater, was like, oh, man, I just didn't find the time to make it out to Furiosa. I talked about going with Shelley, and I remember something, like, I just wasn't feeling well or something and kind of skipped out. And mainly, I think it was just the work in so many hours. I was just like, yeah, I can't do it. But I definitely, you know, enjoyed the Fury Road, and then so I wanted to go see Furiosa in the theater, but I didn't, and apparently it didn't do so well in the theater. But I had heard good things about it, and I mean, it looked good. I mean, it's Furiosa, it's George Miller making another part of the Mad Max series. How could it not be good? I really enjoyed the Furiosa, though, and it maybe, I don't think it was all just the couch. I did watch some of it before getting the sofa. So I keep calling it the couch. Whatever, the new furniture. I watched a lot of it, I guess. In the upstairs here at nighttime while passing out. So, but I watched a good chunk of it on the sofa today. I finished the rest of it. And, I really enjoyed it. I thought Anya Taylor-Joy was really good as Furiosa. I know that, she, of course, was not the original one in Mad Max Fury Road. That, of course, was Charlize Theron. As I forgot the appropriate way to pronounce her last name. Theron? I don't remember. I know it's not what I usually say. But I thought Anya Taylor-Joy was really good in it. Whoever the little girl was that played Furiosa in the beginning wasn't bad, but I mean, she didn't have to say much. It was basically be quiet. I was like, man, I'm saddened that I didn't go see this in the movie theater, because it's a movie that is great for the big screen. Made me also feel like, man, kind of feel like I need a bigger television now downstairs. And it's like a 50 inch television. It's not 50 foot. The fuck? I don't have 50 foot of space down there. Sometimes my brain is not working so well. Like most of the time now that I'm an old fuck. The cast was good in general. Chris Hemsworth played a good baddie. The nose thing kind of threw me off at first. He's wearing a prosthetic nose, which was Dementis is his character, I believe. And he's generally just jacked in general. But, I mean, he had a nice little build going on. I think it's probably because at the time of filming this, he was supposed to be doing the fucking Hulk Hogan movie for Netflix, but I believe that's been canceled as Hulk Hogan's, you know, recently made some news for saying some racist stuff, and he's just in general been like a racist, kind of a scumbag of a person. He's a scab as well. Fucked over the wrestlers in the WWF at the time, before it was WWE, preventing a union from happening. And through Jesse the Body Ventura, you know, under the bus, basically, to, you know, like, hey, he's trying to form a union here. Go fuck him, McMahon. Like, you fuck so many other people. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, the Hulk Hogan movie was canceled, which I was kind of thought it would be good to see Mr. Hemsworth. I was seeing the pictures of him as Hulk Hogan. I was like, ooh, he makes a good Hogan. I mean, it is, if they were going to pick an actor to, you know, play the Hulkster, I mean, Hemsworth would be a good choice. Would be a good choice. I mean, it's Hogan's, you know, I loved that shit when I was a kid. I was a fan of the Hulkster, of the Hulk, of, you know, the Hulkamania. I mean, how could you not be a kid? You know, any guy that's like, you know, in their 40s or 30s currently, I would imagine, like late 30s, early 40s, maybe even a little bit older, would probably be, you know, would have some fondness for the Hulkster back in the day. Because, like, in the 80s, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, man, I mean, Hulkamania was huge. Fucking huge. And, I mean, he wasn't my number one guy, though. So, his fall from grace, if you would say, it hasn't really hurt me that bad. I mean, I was an Ultimate Warrior guy, which it turns out he was, like, kind of not the greatest person either. As, you know, the late great Ultimate Warrior. But I knew fairly quickly that most of those wrestlers were some rough individuals in real life, from what I understand. I wasn't really too shocked on any of it. But I mean, there's some of those guys that were, understand, you know, pretty decent people. I believe Roddy Piper. I haven't heard anything like really negative of him, like, personally. I mean, there's plenty of wrestlers that from that era that played some bad guys, but fairly decent people. You know, like the Iron Sheik was always you know, playing on the whole America hates Iran thing. So, but, well, you know, he seemed like just a bit of a crazy guy. I do love that era of wrestling, though, like the Hulk Hogan era, like the early, you know, just in the 80s in general, maybe slightly into the 90s. I pretty much tuned out after the Hulkster turned heel. I mean, I watched that for a little bit when I was like 18 and stuff, and just I guess about the time I was 18 is about the time I really started tuning out. But I was playing the N64 wrestling games at that point. And, you know, I always loved the Macho Man beef with, like, Hulkster, which I would prefer the Macho over the Hulkster as well. And he had, you know, he was married to Miss Elizabeth. But, I remember the Hulkster, or the Macho, putting out like a diss album against like Hulk Hogan at one point, which was, I thought was just absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I went down that road because of Chris Hemsworth. I was going to talk about Furiosa, and then here I am just talking about Hulkamania. Furiosa, though, I mean, if you enjoyed Fury Road, I mean, you should dig Furiosa. I mean, it's good stuff. Good stuff. The action sequences are very, very good in it. I mean, if you love that just Fury Road shit going on, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice shit. And I like this character. I don't know. I need to look at what the actor's fella's name is. I think it's Tom Burke. I think that's the dude. Yeah. Tom Burke is the actor's name. In Furiosa, he played Praetorian Jack. He was a strong character. He looked like he could have been Mad Max. You know, he had that Mad Max old school look to him, except for, you know, paint his, you know, half of top half of his head black. I don't remember Mad Max doing that. It's been a while since I watched the Mel Gibson Mad Max movies, though. To be fair, I don't recall him painting his head black at any point. I could see Mel Gibson doing blackface at some point, though. I don't think he did blackface in Mad Max. I could be wrong. Again, it's been a while. What they did, what, three of them with Mel Gibson? Anyway, yeah. The Praetorian Jack, he was a good, strong character. He's basically the one that trained Furiosa. Showed her the ropes. Showed her how to drive the war rig and the ways of the wasteland. Basically, just... He was basically like the... Furiosa was like his apprentice, if you will. And he was the master. And the rule of two. Anyway, yeah. Definitely, I mean, if you've been holding out for that one, would you like, just fucking watch it. It's on Paramount Plus. That's how I watched it. And if you got some friends or family that has the YouTube TV, you'd be like, hey, jackass, I don't want to pay for this shit. You're already paying for it. Just share it. Which is a nice thing to do. I mean, I think it's a lot of people, you know, like share their passwords and stuff anyway for these streaming services. And I guess it's just a way to get people to, you know, hey, why not just, like, we'll let you do it with a couple people, but just please stop sharing your password with everybody. Let's cut that down just a wee bit, shall we? Just a wee bit. But yeah, definitely. I'm enjoying having the extra things there. And hopefully I'll be able to see some football here soon. I'm following the Chiefs games and the Colts game. Fuck. I probably need to get a drink of water. My mouth is getting really dehydrated. I might have to pause. Yeah, I think I'll get a drink of water. Yes. That helped a little bit. I got the water in me. Little H2O. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And if you're German, it's Wasser. Ja, das ist Wasser. Das Wasser ist sehr gut. Maybe bone up on the old Deutsch, the German, since, you know, as of right now, planning still on doing that next year. Time will tell, as I'd love to do that. I'd love to go back, to be back. In the Deutschland, I want to say would be back, and when I think of a place, you know, back in the USSR, because I just have the Beatles song forever like planted in my head. But no, I'm not going to the USSR, not going to the former USSR. You know, at some point in time, though, I mean, I can't see myself going back to Russia, at any real point, but. It really seems like it would be really hard to do now. If I were going to go back to, say, the old USSR, I'd like to go to Ukraine. Now would still not a great time to go, but I'd like to go to Kyiv. hopefully, you know, in times that bombs aren't still being, drones and stuff being sent in to, like, blow shit up. Preferably not during a time of war. And unfortunately, there still doesn't seem to be any end in sight for that war. Though Ukraine, you know, is in Russia now. They have seized some Russian land, and yet we are not in a nuclear conflict. Although I should maybe shut the fuck up before I jinx things, because who knows at this point. But as of yet, we are not. As this current moment, I would imagine I'd get an alert on my phone before nukes hit me. I know that I live not too far from a nuclear silo, so, you know, pretty high up on the target list. We're like 30 miles, 35 miles, something like that from a nuclear silo. So I would imagine that nuclear silos in Missouri probably aren't the number one target. I don't know. Either way, I feel like I'd probably get an alert that, hey, we are at nuclear war. And then maybe seconds before I fry. Although being like 30 miles away, it really depends on what kind of nuke they're using. Whether or not I'd get, you know, I think I'd be out of the immediate blast zone. but I'm going to probably get hit with fallout, you know? And, so yeah, I guess probably an alert on my phone would warm me enough. I don't know that what I would do in that case. I mean, I don't have any pills and stuff to help with radiation poisoning and all that shit. And I'm not that worried about it. I'm a gambler, you know? I'll take my chances. I mean, we haven't gotten into nuclear war yet, and we've had some super close calls in the past. So I feel maybe it's misguided or naive of me to not be that concerned about it. Because it just takes like one psycho to just end it for us all and this magical thing. And then it's a world of fallout. Oh, another thing I just ended up watching, speaking of nuclear fallout and whatnot, they put up all the seasons of Fear the Walking Dead on Netflix. I had not seen the final season. I'm like, man, I didn't really want to buy the final season on like Amazon Prime to fucking watch it. And I didn't at the time, I didn't have like anything with AMC. Now I can just watch AMC shit, I think, on the YouTube TV. I think that's part of the package deal. That is set up currently. I could be wrong in that. Either way, I can watch AMC shows, I believe, on there. Hopefully I'm not making Shelly have to pay for things. I don't think any of the stuff I watched was like content that I'm sure if I did, though, hopefully he would let me know that be like, hey, guy, you owe me some cash. So I'd hate to be here like running up a bill. Anyway, I believe I can. That's part of the setup there, so I could watch it on there. And I did watch the final season of Fear the Walking Dead. I've seen every season of every Walking Dead series, with the exception of Tales from the Walking Dead. I only saw one of those episodes. But, you know, I've seen roughly everything of the series. I've never watched the comic. I've read stuff about the comic. I can't tell you how different it is. I know the initial several seasons of The Walking Dead I really enjoyed. But I'm more of a completionist at this point, like, well, I guess I'll watch more of this. I did like the Daryl Dixon show, which I saw before they put up on Netflix, and The Dead City with Negan and Maggie. And that was really good. And you get some like old school Negan feel in there, which gives me the feels. And I really really love the old school Negan. But there's definitely, you know, most of The Walking Dead is turned into, it's just a soap opera with zombies thrown in. And Fear the Walking Dead has been such a weird series, even for The Walking Dead. I mean, it started out, I don't know if they were just getting like really bad reviews over the whole thing. They just like, you know, because they had killed most of the original cast off like fairly early on in the series, which was just kind of a thing, at least in the original, you know, several seasons of The Walking Dead. I mean, that you never know who's going to die. But the reason it seemed like they just completely It seems like they were working one way with the storyline on Fear the Walking Dead. Like, you know what? Next season, we're going to completely change this. I don't think it's going well. We're doing something different. 100% different. And, they did some completely different seasons. And not all bad. Like, some of the stuff was starting to... I enjoyed some of the seasons. Some of the seasons. And I didn't really hate... It's not that I hated, like, the early seasons either. Thought it was odd, like, the... how they got rid of Madison's husband. I don't remember his name. It's been a few years since he was on there and since I watched any of that. He was a decent character, and I think they had some kind of contract negotiations or he was doing something else, and they just went ahead and killed him off. But it seemed like they were leading up to him being a very significant character, and I think because whatever was going on behind the scenes, they ended up getting rid of him. And I liked the character. And I never was crazy about Nick, Madison's son, in it, which he was in it for quite a while before they finally killed him off. And the Daniel character, like, he was okay at times. There's just, like, but they did just went really weird shit. For a while, he has dementia. Then he doesn't have dementia. I'm thoroughly confused, which I guess at some point he might have just said he was faking it. I don't remember. It seems very, again, very soap opera-ish. They didn't bring anybody back to life. Well, I guess Madison sort of did. They said she was dead, and then she comes back. Not really dead. Well, I guess we didn't see her die, so it's very soap opera-ish. I liked, though, when they went and did, they had the gunslinger guy. I don't remember the character's name or the actor's name for that matter. But they had gone and went with more of a darker feel for like a season or two. Trying to see here. Oh, Madison's husband's name was Travis. That's right, Travis. And they got, man, there was some characters I really enjoyed and that were not. They're like, you know what? We're not. Oh, John Dory, played by Garrett Dillahunt. That was the cowboy guy. I liked him. With the seasons like he was in, it was kind of great. They had kind of like a darker feel to it. And when the MRAP like first came out, like Maggie Grace was on there as Althea. They just called her Al in the show, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I mean, there was some couple like two like really good seasons in there, and then all of a sudden they just. They're like, you know what? We're going to really jump the shark. But, I mean, are you really jumping the shark in a Walking Dead series as the whole concept's kind of jumping the shark? Although, I mean, zombie universes are just a, that's, you know, I don't know, that's just a whole genre. But it's been that way for quite some time. But the jumping the shark moment, I would say, for them was, of course, when they launched the nukes. They launched the nukes, and then it was like maybe they had heard that they were going to make a Fallout series. And, you know, like, this game is really popular. Maybe we'll jump the gun here. But it was, you know, I guess a couple of years before the Fallout series. Sheeries? Series? Was on created and put out there, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe they knew it well in advance. They were like, ooh, and or just the fact that the game was really popular. Like, you know what? We need, what happens with nukes in the zombie apocalypse? Which is a valid question. You know, would somebody, when the shit really hit the fan, are they going to launch these nukes? Of course, they had a cult that ended up setting off the nukes. And it was just very weird. They set Alicia to be like the savior. She was, this cult believed that Alicia was going to be the savior. That's Madison's daughter, of course. And that, that was just so weird how they set that up. And then they launched the nukes. And then for like, was it a season, maybe two seasons, they had to deal without the fallout, which I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination. Or, you know, I haven't done research into nuclear fallout. But from what I understand, it lasts more, you know, they do some time jumps and stuff, but I'm pretty sure it lasts more than a couple of years, especially if you're like full on nukes, man. But it would, the way they did it in the show, man, it seemed like, oh no, it was just, we that storyline sucked. So we're basically going to act like that never happened. That nuke thing, yeah, that never really happened. They kind of mentioned it in the last season. Like, they think that, you know, that's what cured Alicia with the zombie bite. It was like, ooh, it's the radiation. So they're basically doing chemo, which is an interesting thing. But I mean, it's very crazy how they just have this whole nuclear apocalypse thing inside the zombie apocalypse and then just pretend like it never happened. That's like the craziest thing. They've done some crazy shit in the Walking Dead universe, but that's pretty crazy. And you would think, though, timelines in The Walking Dead are kind of fucking confusing. I don't know what timeline the Rick and Michonne show, Those Who Survive, or whatever the fuck it was called. I'm not sure what time period they're in. I know there's time jumps, and maybe that was before the nukes dropped in Fear the Walking Dead. Or after. But you would think that nukes being dropped, like, people would have, word would have gotten out. Apparently, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of nukes dropped. And yeah, I would think even in a zombie wasteland where there's not cell phones and everything, that word would have gotten out. Let's see, nuke timeline. Let's see the timeline. Let's see what Reddit has to say about 2 years. Okay, why aren't the nukes from Fear the Walking Dead season 6 finale shown on The Walking Dead and the timeline? Somebody just says too far away. Yeah, there's not. I mean, in these later seasons of The Walking Dead, I guess that's Texas. I wasn't sure where exactly that was that took place. Here's a screen rant about it. Fear the Walking Dead nuclear blast will affect entire Walking Dead universe, but it didn't. said the nuclear blast detonated at the end of Fear the Walking Dead season 6 is set to send shockwaves throughout the entire Walking Dead universe, and yet it didn't. Set years prior to the central The Walking Dead timeline, the closing moments of Fear the Walking Dead season 6 saw John Glover's evil cult leader Teddy detonate 10 nuclear warheads. I was thinking it was more like 60, but 10, okay, across Texas to bring about his vision of a new beginning for the world. The season ultimately ended with Coleman Domingo's Victor Strand allowing this to happen, eventually rising from the ashes and promising to create a new world of his own. And yet, in the final season, he's back to being a good guy. It's a fucking weird shit, man. They did some weird choices with the direction of that show. But yeah, this is back when it just happened. And I guess people were excited when this, because kind of the way this article's leading. Okay, here's one, the more recent, when the shows all take place. Because I want to know, what the, like, these nukes should fucking have affected everybody. as, oh no, that's still just The Walking Dead. Damn it. Where's the nuclear reactor in Fear of the Walking Dead? I want to see why the fuck. Like, I mean, they just glossed over it. As I mean, that final season, it, like, it's not even a thing, not even a factor, but I guess maybe they're not in Texas anymore, that they moved on. I'm not sure where they're at, because they, I guess around Georgia and shit, I think that's where Sanctuary was, because they're there. I don't know, it's confusing. It's confusing. Abandoned. There we go. Abandoned. Maybe that. No, that didn't. That didn't help me. It's basically just. It just seemed like. They just totally. Hey, let's forget that. No, I'm not seeing any explanation of why they just like. Let's not talk about that. Let's forget about that. Why wouldn't they? Not even seeing any YouTube vids on that. I'm thinking like the big deal in like Fear the I forgot the name of the big crew that Rick ends up being kidnapped by, sort of kidnapped, given to, I guess. again, a little fucking crazy. A little crazy. You would think the people with the rings that fly the helicopters, somebody would have known in that organization. That would have been like, you know what? Hey, somebody let off some nukes. Should we be concerned? Should we find out who did that and maybe kill them before they try to nuke us? But I don't recall hearing about that in any other series. I would think that's probably like the worst. Oh, what did people consider Fear the Walking Dead worst season? That's a good question. Let's see here. Comic book CBR.com, which is comic books something. Comic book resources. Okay. CBR.com. Comic book resources.com. It's just CBR.com, though. Anyway. It says here, Fear of the Walking Dead was a monumental. Yeah, I don't give a shit. Number eight. Season seven was greatly limited due to its post-nuclear plot. The seventh season of Fear of the Walking Dead was frustrating because it had so much potential. The need for survival was amplified due to the nuclear bombing at the end of season six, adding a layer of fallout to the series. Victor Strand finally descended to villainy. Madison made her long-awaited return. The execution, however, was sloppy. That's true. The post-nuclear surface was full of boring imagery. True. Which at times looked like scenes were being shot on a high school stage. This also led to more focused episodes starring two or so characters. Both were likely due to the real-world pandemic occurring at the time of the filming. Strand's tenure as a villain came across as a more cartoony dictator than the complex character that drew fans to Strand in the first place. Lastly, Madison's return brought viewers a Madison that was tough to recognize, someone who wasn't eager to find her children, instead kidnapping other parents' children. Any good will season six brought Fear the Walking Dead was quickly dashed with season six. Number seven is season eight stumbled across the finish line here. Season 8, the final season of Fear the Walking Dead, was a slight step up from 7, but it took a little while to get there. I'm going to say the final season might be the worst. The first half of Season 8 focused on Padre and its philosophy of separating children from their parents to raise them in a controlled and safe environment. It was dumb. That storyline was dumb. This includes the adopted daughter of Morgan Jones and Grace Mukherjee, which I probably butchered that name. The first half, yeah, I can't say Grace. No. Mukherjee? First half of Season 8, set years after 7, was a relatively boring pursuit of toppling and reforming Padre. It did, to its credit, give Morgan a proper send-off by bringing him back to Georgia to finally put down his zombified son, Dwayne. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot he had to kill Dwayne. Second half of the Season 8, now without Morgan, was more interesting with the return of the long-presumed dead Troy Otto from Season 3. His dynamic with Madison continues to be fascinating now with the added layer of Troy having a daughter and Madison still unsure of her daughter Alicia Clark's fate. Spoiler alert, she didn't die. Who Troy claims he killed, even though then the second half was hampered by an unnecessary Dwight and Sherry episode and bizarre character and story decisions. Wasn't as strong of a finish as Fear the Walking Dead could have been, but still found a satisfying enough note to end on. Yeah, It says here, Season 5 tries to be good, but with lackluster results. It's got the one lady is a baddie that was in The Boys. She's Ashley in The Boys. Don't remember her name in the Fear of the Walking Dead, though. Which I'm excited to see what happens to her in The Boys, because she took the Compound V. We'll see what kind of power she ends up with. Anyway, maybe she's a zombie. Says Season 5 begins with a highly optimistic outlook relative to the world its characters inhabit. Morgan and his new group are now firmly established, and their goals are simple. Redeem their checkered past by spreading good, inspired by the selfless philosophy of Clayton, better known as Polar Bear, who along with his team of truckers leaves supplies across the U.S. with the simple request of take what you need, leave what you don't. It's different compared to the typical despair the Walking Dead universe tends to produce, but it never manages to become a compelling thing. Compelling in comparison. Fuck me. So tongue-tied. Season 5 takes a turn for the better when it introduces Virginia and her pioneers. Virginia, that's the name of Ashley from The Boys. I don't know the actress's name anyway. Virginia, who strive to rebuild the world through any means necessary. Virginia is one of Fear the Walking Dead's best villains, played by The Boys' Colby Minifee. She's great. Anyway. However, she and her pioneers initially come across a Western genre version of Negan and his saviors, which brings the series back to an unoriginal storyline. Number 5 here on the list says Season 4 marked a significant shift in Fear the Walking Dead. Season 4 is a weird one. It feels like a completely new series. Season 4 introduces Morgan, the first crossover character from the main Walking Dead series, as well as other characters that would persist for the rest of the series, such as John Dory, Althea, or Al. I'm not going to even pretend to pronounce that last name. Very Polish-sounding name. Charlie and June, which I've got to say, I enjoyed that season. I thought it was decent. The first half of Season 4 is told mostly through flashbacks explaining what happened to Madison's community. Located in a minor league baseball stadium, revelations include the shocking and sudden death of Nick Clark and the presumed death of Madison. Season 4 started off promising, presenting a mystery that slowly unravels. The second half of Season 4 is when Fear the Walking Dead officially becomes Morgan's show with the woman Martha, who strives to break through Morgan's passive ways to make him strong. The problem comes from the fact that Morgan's inclusion in Fear the Walking Dead still felt unnatural at the time. So Season 4's attempt to oversell viewers on Morgan resulted in an awkward start to the season and a tonally weird second half that had more than expected comedic moments. But I feel like that was like a dark, just had a darker look to it. And just like, I feel like they just had a different person running the show like every fucking year. It was very strange. number 4 here, I guess this is the best of, not the worst of. But it says season four here, or number four, season one. It says the original Walking Dead starts weeks into the zombie apocalypse with Rick Grimes, of course, awakening from his coma to a world already lost. Fear of the Walking Dead, initially set on the opposite end of the U.S., showcases society's attempt to save it. Fear of the Walking Dead shows this descent through the perspective of Madison, her husband, Travis Manawa, her two children, and Travis's son, Christopher Manawa. I forgot about his son. He's been dead for a long time. Madison and her family are slowly introduced to other mainstays, such as Strand and Daniel Salazar. Fear of the Walking Dead does a great job establishing this new core group of characters while making this world feel fresh again. Its only flaw is that it's only six episodes, which is par for the course for the first season of the Walking Dead universe. I think the first season was decent. Here they're saying season six was the last good season of Fear of the Walking Dead thanks to its consistent quality. I don't know. But that's the one that ends with the nukes. It says number two on the list is season two, which season two was when Fear of the Walking Dead really came into its own. That's when it says here, strong start by taking full advantage of its oceanic setting. Much of the first half of season two takes place on Strand's yacht. I kind of forgot about the yacht days. Which puts a greater emphasis on inner turmoil rather than external threat. I was just assuming that I was going to say existential, but I guess external threat. Which works as everyone is still trying to catch their bearings in this new world. Season 2 takes Madison's group to Mexico at the behest of Strand, who, unbeknownst to Madison, is desperate to reunite with his boyfriend, Thomas. Madison's group begins to fall apart as Travis's son, Chris, becomes cold, distant, and a threat to Madison and Alicia. I remember the Mexico stuff being pretty decent. Number one says season three, full attention, drama, and shocking moments. That's when Travis gets it. He bites it, I think, is at the end. It says season three gets off to a shocking start with the early and sudden death of Travis. Yeah, okay. I was thinking maybe it was at the end, but I guess it was at the beginning. Who was shot while in a military helicopter. This set the stage for Madison and her group to be situated right in the middle of a decades-old family feud between Jeremiah Otto and his Brokejaw Ranch community of Doomsday Preppers and Kalaitaka Walker, the Native American chief of the Black Hat Reservation. I don't remember that season a whole lot other than like the Travis bit, honestly. But I guess that's when Troy makes his way in there and stuff. I gotta say, I kind of like the season four or whatever the hell it was. The one where Morgan first shows up. Though I could have gave a shit less about bringing Morgan over. Morgan's been a strong character at times. Other times, not so much. Had almost like a Rick Grimes kind of past to him. Like, he starts out like just at times just being a total fucking badass. And then at times, I'm not hurting anybody. Not hurting a fly. Seems like that's just a common arc for a lot of people in Walking Dead. I'm going to kill people left and right, and then I'm just not going to hurt a fly, man. I'm not going to hurt a fly. I don't want to kill anything anymore. I'm going dark, and then I'm just going to... And then it was weird how Morgan at the end, kind of in the final season, goes dark again. He's like, oh, I'm going to go back to just absolutely batshit crazy. Like, I'm going to kill everything in sight. But yeah, that was fucking strange how that show worked out. That they, really went with completely different storylines in some of those seasons, and it just felt like a totally different show. It was very strange how that all happened. definitely looks like on other places that are ranking the seasons that, the last couple seasons are not real high up on there. But that season six where it ends in the nukes is ranked pretty... There's a Collider. They've got that ranked number one according to Rotten Tomatoes scores. Season season four is ranked pretty high at number three. I'd rank that, I mean, I rank that like number one. I like the Old West vibe going on there and shit. It's kind of nice. I guess that's about all I've really got going on here. Need to wrap things up. I need to clean out the shit box, the Age of Mulder shit box. And maybe jump on the couch for a minute before I play some Call of Duty. Call it a night. I'm pretty fucking tired. I imagine I'll try to get to sleep fairly early tonight because I hopefully get around to painting the damn garage door tomorrow. So wish me luck on that one. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.